Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by 1000 Maniacs. I've told you over and over and over again to build an audience before building a product. Build an audience and then determine what it is they want to buy and then build that for them. But how and where can you find maniacs, especially when you're just getting started? There are many ways you can find them, and you will discover that as you dive into our system, and it's all about starting with a carefully defined strategy. Right now, your maniacs are already going someplace with the specific intent of learning about what you have to offer. I want to show you how to locate them. There is no better time than right now to get started. Go to 1000maniacs.com and join the community.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster. But you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a master of neuro-linguistic programming, an executive coach, keynote speaker, and an entrepreneur. She's the founder of I Am Woman Project and the founder and editor-in-chief of I Am Woman Magazine. She is passionate about inspiring individuals, leaders, and businesses to transform, build, and create powerful, affecting, and lasting change, both within themselves and within their organizations. Now, let's hack. Catherine Plano. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Braintree. You remember your first dollar you made? Now you want to grow and make your millionth or your billionth. Have you found the right payments partner to grow with you? Braintree lets you accept every way to pay, from PayPal to Apple Pay and everything in between. All it takes is one simple integration. And it doesn't matter what currency your customers use, because Braintree lets you accept over 130 of them. To learn more about how you and your company can grow with Braintree, visit braintreepayments.com/hack. That's braintreepayments.com/hack. Check it out now. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very special guest. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, John. It's an honor.
Oh, absolutely my pleasure. I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
I agree.
Nice. So let's do it, Catherine. Catherine, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
The one thing that I do, I think for me, it's really empowering people and transforming individuals. I believe that we all have all the resources that we need. And I call myself a bit of a tour guide. I just go in there and guide you to tap into those resources. So I actually say, and it's been around for a couple of years now, people call me a transformer. So I say transformation is my middle name. So that's pretty much in a nutshell what I do.
And so that I like this. I like this a lot. And so, I mean, it seems almost selfless, like you are trying to help other people and you are getting sort of a personal benefit, like of probably satisfaction and feeling from it. But what made you want to empower other people to do big things in their lives?
It's really hard to say when it started. I think, John, I was born this way. I think that, you know, when I think about it, my mum's always said to me, you've always wanted to help people, even when you were a little girl. And I did go into sort of a completely different path many moons ago. I was very much into all the esoteric stuff and wanting to help people, and went down that path and had my own center. And I realized that, you know, these people were becoming really dependent on me. And it was a bit of a crossroad for me. It was like, well, I don't feel like I'm empowering people. I feel like they're still depending on me and I have to change this. So I started looking at what else could I do, and I really got into the whole brain science thing and neurolinguistics and coaching. And I've been doing this for at least, 18 years now. And it's really, it does satisfy me because I do help people transform and empower. They feel empowered just because they're tapping into their own unconscious mind, making and creating those own changes themselves.
Yeah, which I would think, like the little bit I think I know about this, I guess, area of expertise is that it can't be done like just externally, right? You have to want to do it yourself. It's like quitting smoking cigarettes or something. I don't think you can, there's any pill or anybody can do anything to you if you don't want to do it yourself.
I absolutely agree. You can't be hypnotized, for example, unless you allow yourself to be hypnotized. You can't create, you have to want to make those changes yourself. And that's the first step. Is to want to make that change, whatever that may be, whether it's quitting smoking, changing your perceptions, changing your habits, whatever they may be.
Yeah. And so it's interesting because there seems to be this thing where I deal with this myself, is trying to, people want to ask you how you do things, how you get to like have a business and travel and do all this stuff. And then you try and talk to them. I'm wondering if you run into this or how you deal with this, is people who don't believe at all that if they sort of change their perception of the world and how things are affecting them and what their actual possibility is. And if they're not willing to change that, or they're just so against it that it's just like butting your head against the wall, where you want to show them that if you really just like take this more positively and kind of push yourself, or like, I agree, like you, absolutely 100%, that we all have the tools right now to do almost anything we possibly want to in this world, if we step up and do it. So if you get a client that's coming to you and wanting your help, but then they have that sort of, like, how do you break through that where the person just has that resistance against your philosophy and your ideas?
Yeah, so I think science, if you actually walk them through, and I do, I walk them through the brain, the three parts of the brain, what their functions are. And then I really go into the conscious and the unconscious, and all of these filters that we have, so their values, habits, fears, perceptions. So we really sort of unpack it all. So when they see that this is science and there's a lot of evidence and research around it, they're more open to hearing, wow, I've got the power to change this if I choose to. And I think that's how I get into it first. I always talk about what we have, the most beautiful thing that we have that's, at our hands.
Yeah. So the three parts of the brain are...
Your prefrontal cortex, which is the executive function. And basically what that does, it helps you solve your problems, plan, think strategically. And especially if you're an entrepreneur, you have to be, good at multitasking and doing, well, it was like that for me. I had to learn how to do absolutely everything. And I talk about when you are overwhelmed, challenged or stressed, you actually close that part of your brain down. So you actually then you can't function properly, you can't plan properly, you can't solve problems properly, and you can't strategize. So we talk about the importance of keeping that open and our stress levels down. And then we talk about the limbic part, which is the emotional part of the brain. So, with everything that we do, if we don't have enough emotion into it, and it's anything, any project that we do, if we can fuel enough emotion into any project we put into, this is our unconscious driver. And it pushes us to do so. And then, of course, the last part, which is the oldest part of our brain, which is the lizard part of our brain. And that's the unconscious part of our brain. That's the part of our brain that makes our whole body function. So our heart, our blood, and so forth. So when you talk about the science piece of the brain or the science part of the brain, it helps them, and you break it down and you actually look at the pros and cons and the function of each part of the brain. If they're more open to hearing, okay, so how do I change these habits? I might think blah this way about my business, or why can't I get money? They might have money blocks that we need to work through. So it's through, once we've, I've done this whole introduction of the brain and given them a lot of insight, then we can look into some of those unconscious habits that they want to break.
I love this. I'm assuming we've heard enough times that like the brain is a muscle, that the more you use it, the better it gets, the stronger it gets, the more resilient it gets. Can you give people sort of exercises, not right now necessarily, but your clients, like, is there ways you can, say, enhance your prefrontal or like the limbic part, you know what I mean? Like, can you specifically make those parts stronger in your brain to enhance them? And
yep.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. So
it's amazing.
With your, and I always talk about, I mean, you, everyone's heard, you know, we, you know, there used to be some moons ago, they used to talk about, we only use 10% of our brain. And neuroscience, in fact, now says we use up to 3 to 5% of our brain. And that's our conscious part of our brain, which is that prefrontal cortex that I speak about. So when you think about how do we expand our thinking, how do we create new neural pathways? And it's as easy as being present. And this is, you know, some people might call it mindfulness, but being present. And I think that this is a big thing, to be able to pause and be present with whatever you're doing. It's, you know, people find it hard to do even for 5 minutes a day. And I always recommend do it 5 minutes a day. It takes 21 days to create a new habit. If you do this 5 minutes a day, it will help build that part of that brain, that muscle of, you know, that part of the muscle of the prefrontal cortex. So, and what it does, it helps you, even meditation. Like I get up at 5 o'clock every morning and I meditate and I set my daily intentions. And if I don't do that, I'm all over the place. And I think it's really important to be able to pause, because as entrepreneurs, we are most of the time chasing our tails. Some of the times, some of us forget to plan. So when planning is so important, because I believe it buys us back time, but it also allows us to think strategically and plan properly without being stressed out. And also by planning, you're not leaving things to the last minute. And I think that's what a lot of us do. We're so reactive instead of being proactive. This is where we get stressed out, and this is where this part of that brain closes down, and you know,
yeah,
or hell breaks loose.
Exactly. So is this 5 minutes that you say to spend? Is this like mindfulness sort of exercise?
Yeah, and
just being present.
And it could be as simple as, I mean, you think about it. How often, John, do you stop to think what you're thinking about? You think about it.
Yeah,
lots of thinking.
Not enough.
No, and that's for all of us. We don't actually stop to think about what am I thinking? What am I feeling? I mean, just to check in with yourself. And because, you know, if we're saying that 95% of the time we're living in that unconscious part of our brain where there's all these old habits, old programs, old limiting beliefs, limiting decisions that stop us doing that very thing that we need to do, or stop us getting to where we want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a huge believer in that limiting beliefs thing. And so many people's success is like, I think, just being held back by their own beliefs that they actually can be successful. They think it's just for other people, it seems, but.
It's so true. And I think the biggest part too is labeling. We are big on putting a label on something, you know, whether it's, you know, a good thing or a bad thing, or when we have an experience, when we actually put a label, we're actually allowing ourselves to see it exactly the way that we've labeled. We make our environment or our situations quite complex just by labeling. And then, of course, if we then see it that way, we will unconsciously behave that way, and then we will reap those rewards, and then the results that we get. So, you know, I always look at reverse engineering. What's happening in the environment? What's not working for them? And then we just reverse engineer and find out what's going on in their mind to change the way they see it.
Yeah, I love that. And this is actually a great segue, because I want to know what's going on in your mind, in the fact that your one thing is empowering people and transforming individuals. It's a big, powerful thing. But let's talk about you within your business. So every expert talks about the 80-20 rule. You do 20% of the work, you get 80% of the results. You do what you're good at, and you delegate the rest. So through your mindfulness, I would love to know, Catherine, what is something that you are just not good at in your business?
Oh, gosh. So there's lots. I mean, I delegate a lot. I've got an amazing team with me, and we all work with our strengths. So, you know, for me, I'm the innovator. I'm the ideas person. I'm quite creative. I love speaking and I love to write. So, you know, and the people around me, they're a little bit more, you know, detailed orientated. And so, you know, things like admin, social media, those kind of things, I delegate. I won't say that I'm not good at them. They don't interest me. So I spend my time and energy, the things that make my heart sing, the things that really motivate me. And I make sure that my team, everyone in my team, actually work with the things that they absolutely love to do.
I like that. And is when you think back, say, it's just over 7 years, I believe, you've been at this now yourself. Is this something that you were good at from the beginning, delegation of things that you felt you weren't good at? Or did you kind of struggle with it at the beginning?
Well, at the beginning, there was just me. So I did absolutely everything. And that was really tough, you know, from marketing to, you know, you name it, everything. So it was one of those things that, you know, I had to get to a point where I was financially stable, where I could start, you know, getting some contractors on board and coming to help me. And that took a bit of time too. I think it's about letting go too, because I think sometimes when it's your baby and it's your creation, all of a sudden you've got to, you know, have that trust and faith that people will have as much passion as what you do. So I've learned to let go of all of that. And now I trust everybody until obviously broken. So it was a bit tough initially.
It always is, right? I mean, it's financially tough, and then it's also your baby. You're right. Like it's that first letting go, but I think, or I feel, and it sounds like validated by what you say and what I've had in my experience, is the more we do it, the more we delegate out and get rid of. So the more we kind of leverage our ideas and our creativity through other people, that I think the easier it is to do, because we see the benefit of it then. But it's hard, that first step.
Oh, it is. And I think that, you know, when I look at it now, delegation is so important for me nowadays, because I see that by delegating, I'm empowering other people, you know, and I absolutely trust them. I say, this is your area of expertise. You go ahead with it and let's collaborate and see where it goes. So I really allow people to just run with things, which I never used to be like that 7 years ago. It's something that, you know, I've grown into.
Yeah.
And it's made a massive difference from, especially from a time perspective. I have a lot more time to do the things that I love.
Yeah, exactly. It's pure leverage, right? Of your ideas, especially. And so that takes us nicely into this. I want to talk about projects. So projects is a loose term. It can be either a small new idea that you want to pursue or a big new project. I Am Woman magazine. It's a huge thing that you decided at some point was a viable thing to go after. And you're an ideas person, you love the ideas and using your creativity and then leveraging it with a team, yet I'm sure you still don't want to just leverage every idea that comes through your head throughout the day, because I'm assuming as an entrepreneur, you have a lot of them. So Catherine, if you have a process, if it's written or if it's just an internal gut feeling you have, I would love to know, when ideas come to you, either through your email or somebody on your team tells you about something, or you just, it comes to you itself, I would like to know what process you personally go through to decide when an idea is worth yours and your team's time, energy, and resources.
Sure. So I write my ideas down. I have an ideas book and I carry it everywhere with me because it helps me. Some of my ideas that come to fruition, I might write about it as well. So, you know, I'll write my ideas and then I might look back into and do some reflection on and think, you know, is this worth a good idea? Is this worth taking it further? And then I might have a conversation. And what we kind of do with our team is we'll throw off, you know, the idea around the table. So basically we add to the idea. So my idea might be, for example, like we're launching some e-courses soon. And it's really about coaching because, you know, I don't know what the prices are like in Canada, but in Australia, it can be, you know, anything from $300 to $500 an hour. And, you know, really, I mean, not everybody can afford that. So I've decided, I've come up with an idea where it's a 12-week program for $19.99 a week, and, you know, which is very affordable. And there's a lot of self-auditing, but, you know, it was about throwing that on the table. And so it's one piece of paper with the idea, it goes around and everyone writes, adds to that idea. So by the time it gets around to me, I've got, you know, my idea has turned into this big, massive idea. And so this is how we then build our projects, from all of us putting our energy into it, because I might think of something completely different to the way you might think it. And I think if we collaborate and have more than one mind putting into this, I think it's quite powerful.
It is. That's huge. I love that. And so to the beginning of this, with this ideas book that you keep, what is this, just a general blank notebook, or is this a special ideas book you have?
Oh, I call it a special ideas thinking. Book, but it is just a blank, it's just a plain hard copy, just, you know, plain book. Yes. But I call it my special book because I do carry it because, you know, I might be driving and then I'll get an idea. So I'll write that down. Or I might run a class and then afterwards I'll think, oh, that's a great idea. I might write an article about that. So I think that by keeping, because you know, sometimes you have an idea and you think that's a really good idea. And this used to happen to me, and that's why I decided to get a book. And then I'd get home and I'd forget what the idea was. So because, you know, obviously everything, you know, everything's fast paced and with technology you get interrupted all the time, that I thought, no, if I have a book with me all the time, as soon as an idea comes up, I'll just write it down so I can't forget it.
Yeah, and the side benefit is you don't have to try and retain that in your head and use up that energy trying to, like, I'm going to remember this. And then you deal with the frustration later where you're sitting there trying to remember, like, what was that? And then you just can't. You have to. This is a brilliant habit. And this is something I do, because otherwise, when it comes time to, I need to write the next article for something, I have no idea what to write, but I go in and I have this tiny little like notebook that like waitresses and waiters use. And I look through it and like, oh yeah, that was pretty smart, John. Wow. I have no idea what I wrote it, but it's there. And so it's a great habit.
I know, it's pretty cool. It's cool. And I think that, you know, sometimes when you're just chilling out, you know, driving or you're actually getting out of your way. And I think as soon as you get out of your way, this is when I think the ideas just come through.
Yeah.
When you just get out of your way.
Exactly. Like showering, right? It's a notorious place for entrepreneurs to all of a sudden, we finally get that damn phone out of our hands and a computer out of our faces. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, ideas.
Absolutely. Yes.
Hard to take your notebook in the shower, but it's still.
True. Yes. But that's another place. Yeah, absolutely. When you're just, you know, on your own and just having a shower and yes, but you can't write that down straight away.
Exactly. So this new $19.99 a week plan. So you came up with an idea, you put it on a piece of paper, you handed it around the table. Everybody adds to the idea. Now, the next step of an idea is you implement it. But what happens, Catherine? I want to know, because one of our greatest struggles as humans and as entrepreneurs is that fear of being wrong, right? Making a mistake and failing, having an idea or a product fail. So you've gone through this process, you came up with an idea, you feel in your gut and the team feels that it's the right thing to do, yet it doesn't always work, right? So we put it out to the world and maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month, maybe 6 weeks, whatever we put it as our metric, the numbers just come back that it isn't right. So could you tell me, how, when something goes wrong, an idea you think is going to be right, when it goes wrong, can you walk me through how to be wrong in your business?
So we encourage mistakes. I don't believe in failure. I believe in feedback. So when things are, and we've got a feedback culture. We're very open to feedback. I think it's really important. So, you know, the three typical questions is, you know, what are we doing well? What are our opportunities and what can we do differently? And so we're always having, you know, a conversation around those three questions. And, you know, whether it's, you know, the e-course or, you know, magazine, whatever, we constantly, like even with the magazine, we were constantly changing it so that our tribe was really happy. And we would be asking them, you know, what do you like? What don't you like? What's working for you? What's not working for you? And I think it's really important to be really transparent about, we want your feedback because that's the only way we're going to change and grow. So I think that if you work in collaboration with the people, your tribe, I think that that's going to help you, you know, get to where you need to. So, you know, even if you launch and if you want to call it failure, then we look at it changing. So we're very flexible and, you know, we might have a plan here, plan A, and if it doesn't work, we've got plan B. We always look at the best case and the worst case scenario. So if we're prepared for the worst case scenario and we have a plan for it, we're okay to fail big. So I think for me, you know, if you have a look at Thomas Edison, I mean, how many mistakes did he make? And he found, you know, whatever it was, 9,000 ways of not to do it to get to the light. And if he didn't do that, we wouldn't have a light today. So I look at it, I always reflect back on Thomas Edison, you know, as, you know, what would he done? And I think that, you know, if you just keep yourself flexible. And I think, you know, people say if you've got an idea, just put it out there, you know, and you might go back and forth and change it until you perfect it. But don't wait till it's perfect before you launch, because you may never launch. So we've got that mindset where we're prepared to launch and prepared to, you know, and to test the waters, what's working, what's not working, what can we change, you know. So that's all part of it. We do that with everything. You know, nothing is perfect when it goes out.
Yeah. And again, like so many things you've said today, is it's such a matter of perspective, having the right perspective on it. And it's just an idea. It's not you, for one thing. And the chances of it going out the door the first time and being perfect are very, very slim to none. They have to go out, get feedback from your people, and sort of work it into something that works. And even if it doesn't, who cares, right? Just move on to the next one. It's not defeat. It's not you. It's not that you could never do something successful because one idea failed, because if that were the case, nobody would ever be successful. We just typically don't remember the failures.
No, it's true. And I think with anything that we try, whether it's a new job, a new project, whatever that may be, or the first time you start a podcast, whatever that may be, there's always a little bit of resistance, you know, and you get better and better with practice. And I think then you'll get to a point where you feel really comfortable and confident and, you know, and so it comes across in your product or your services. So, you know, I think it always takes a little bit of time to get it right.
Yeah, exactly. If anybody wants proof of this right now, this is like episode 215 or something, but you could go back to episode 1 of this show and I'm pretty terrible. Or you could go back before that because I've actually left it up. And if you search my name in iTunes, there's an older podcast before this one. You want to see bad? But I've left it there because people want to just see you as you are now 300 episodes later in 2 years and think that, well, John must have just like always been good at podcasting. Like, no. I just didn't give up when I really, really sucked. And now I just don't suck quite as much. But you have to push through that stuff. It's such a big part of doing anything in a really just big, good, cool way. It's absolutely essential.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, people will relate to you, John. I mean, just, you know, if they were to look back at some of your old stuff or even some of my old stuff, it's like, well, we're human. And I think if anything, they'll connect with us because we're actually not this perfect, whatever that may be, that we're human. We started somewhere once upon a time to get to where we are today.
Exactly. Exactly. I absolutely agree. And that's why I've left things up. So that people don't just think I'm just saying that. It's like, no, literally, listen 2 years ago to me. It was terrible. But I cared, but I still knew I had to push through because I knew where I wanted to be in life. And so I pushed through it.
Yeah.
Just the way it is. All right, Catherine, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on one final question for you.
Sure.
This idea I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap, which means this gap sometimes that we live in that we never, as entrepreneurs, see ourselves as successful. No matter what we accomplish and no matter from the outside what we look like as success, to ourselves, we always want to hit that next goal in 1 month when you get to stand on that stage, in 6 months when you hit that revenue goal, in a year when you get to release that famous book. Whatever it happens to be, we set these goals and we have to, but right before you're going to hit that next goal, you're going to set 5 or 10 bigger ones into the future and push yourself even further. So it doesn't matter what. It's like walking towards the horizon. As you walk closer, it gets further and further away. So I would love it right now, Catherine, rather than just always living in this gap, this is mindfulness to me. And I would love it if you could stop right now, turn and look behind you at everything you've accomplished in your career up till today, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses. But let's not look forward. Let's look till today and tell me exactly how you feel about everything up until this very moment.
Wow, what a great question. So I'm feeling blessed is probably the word that comes to mind, but I feel proud of what I've achieved. And I think that, you know, this year I made a conscious effort because listening to what you were saying, yes, as entrepreneurs, we're coming up with ideas, we're always planning. And this year was, I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to be simplifying my life and maybe working on one thing at a time. And I think that where I've come to now and how I feel, it's about being more calm about the things that I do and have faith that they will happen in the right time, not try to push things to happen. And I think it's about taking that step back and being more of an observer rather than, you know, charging out there with your ideas and trying to make it happen all in one go. And I think that I want to try something completely different this year. And it's only this year I made that conscious decision. That this year I'm going to simplify the way that I do things and even to the point where we're restructuring everything. So I think that I'm just very proud that I've actually come to this realization. For me, it's about simplifying things to make them work.
I love it. I love it. And you should be proud. You should be very proud. So Catherine, this has been a ton of fun and we've got to talk about your business and your team in passing. But could you now specifically tell the listener where to go find out more about you and your business?
Yeah, sure. So they can either find me on Catherine Plano, P-L-A-N-O. So it's Catherine, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-O, P-L-A-N-O.com, or IamWomanProject.com.
Excellent. 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 And you're also on all the social medias, but I will link to it on Hack the Entrepreneur on the show notes, CatherinePlano.com, IamWomanProject.com, and I'll track down her Twitter and her Facebook and her Instagram for you, and I will put them there as well, so that you can reach out to Catherine after you hear her on the show and also check out her work, especially this new project coming out that we've heard about. So Catherine, once again, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. I really, really, truly do appreciate it. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you so much, John. It's been so much fun. Thank you.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Catherine. And thank you for joining us out there. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Catherine was late for her. It was like 11:30 p.m. She's in Australia. So it was very cool of her to take the time out of her late, late evening to join us on the show today. And I'm really, really glad I got to talk to her. Her understanding of, neuro-linguistic programming and just like brain science and how it affects what we accomplish, what we achieve is, I love it. It's a really kind of a profound thing to grasp and then grasp on a really deep level and really truly understand. And I think it does have a huge impact on our lives and what we do accomplish. So I love that we got to get into that a bit and then we get to bring it back and sort of bring it through the conversation. So going back through the conversation, I wanted to find something that really stood out to me that Catherine said. I wanted to just, there had to be something there. So I went back and I listened. And as I went through it, I got it down to 6 things. So I went through it again. I got it down to 4. Then I got it down to 3. I went through it one more time, and I got it down to 1. This one thing that Catherine said that was so very clear to me when she said it, that it was just that. It was that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
So it's one piece of paper with the idea. It goes around and everyone writes, adds to that idea. So by the time it gets around to me, I've got, you know, my idea has turned into this big massive idea. And so this is how we then build our projects from all of us putting our energy into it, because I might think of something completely different to the way you might think it. And I think if we collaborate and have more than one mind putting into this, I think it's quite powerful.
And that's the hack. Catherine, Catherine, Catherine. I love this. This is really big. This is really big. And you have a team around you, so you can take an idea, no matter how small this idea is, and you can pass it around the table and get it so that it transforms into something bigger and sort of an evolution of your idea into something that has a better chance of surviving sort of in the wild, if you will. But I think it even goes deeper than this. Even if you don't have a team around you, there's 2 things for this. 2 things that Catherine touches on that are really, really, really important to the success of your ideas and your business. The first one is to share your ideas, right? Don't protect your ideas and don't be worried about people hearing them because they might tear it apart or they might think that it's no good. That's what you want. Okay, it's very rare that you come up with an idea that you could create that idea from nowhere to something real without ever telling somebody about it and then have it actually be as good or as effective or useful or profitable as it could possibly be without letting it out into the wild to just get torn apart and then rebuilt based on other people's ideas. People will want to help you, trust me. Find people who are going to be your customer or people that you know that deal in this, whatever it happens to be. If you're creating a software product and the software itself is going to be solving like a problem that you have or that other people have, first of all, you should be able to find 5 of those people or 10 of those people who have kind of patched together this weird patchwork of software or things or apps to do what it is you want to do, and you have this elegant solution to solve it easily. Tell them about your idea. Tell them how it works. Maybe put together a mini prototype using like free prototyping software that's available for free to use on the internet. Look up prototyping software and build a prototype of your idea and give it to them. They have the same problem. If they don't like your idea, that's not a bad thing. That's a good idea because they do like the idea of having this solved. It's just, it's not working properly. But you don't know this until you share your ideas. So number one is share your ideas. The second part is, Catherine says, is really is just surrounding yourself with other smart people, right? The power of the mastermind, as we call it. Many brains is smarter than one. And ideas and projects and everything goes further when you surround yourself with other people. Maybe you don't have a mastermind. Maybe you don't have a team. But there's social media. There's places we can reach out. You can email people and ask them questions. And people will help you. Just go out there. And like, even if it makes you uncomfortable, trust me, it makes me uncomfortable too sometimes. But you have to do this. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing things that are uncomfortable sometimes to get to where you want to be, to get to what you want to accomplish. Trust me, it really, really is. But more than one is always better than one when it comes to people thinking about an idea, because it allows this idea to really get sort of tossed around until it comes out to be something really, really, truly valuable. It doesn't need to be the exact same of what you created. Trust me. That's typically not how businesses and ideas work. So share your ideas with others freely, always, and then allow them to, by being surrounded by other people, allow them to be sort of tossed around and built into something really, really good. Catherine, thank you very much. All right. Well, thank you so very much for joining Catherine and I today. I really do appreciate it. I hope you don't mind that I'm a bit stuffed up and I have kind of a terrible cold this week, but I'm feeling pretty good today. I don't think I sound that good. But I'm here. I'm here and I'm enjoying it still. And so hacktheentrepreneur.com, you can check out Catherine's notes over there. And yeah, it'd be really cool. I have something really cool coming out, actually. We're putting out a top 10 of, now that we're just over 200 episodes with Hack the Entrepreneur, early May, top 10 of Hack the Entrepreneur is coming out. So those are the top 10 episodes. And I think it's going to be really cool. For anybody who's sort of hasn't been with me for the last 200 episodes, which is probably most of you, it'll be, a really good sort of primer and foundation for the show, the episodes and the interviews that have really sort of shaped the show and give you the best sort of foundation of where to kind of dig into the most meat and the just the coolest interviews. There's kind of a mishmash of the combination. I created my own weird sort of like algorithm of how I was determining what these are. It's not just the most downloaded. The most downloaded are in there, the top five, but then there's five other ones that I think are essential to round out the top 10. So it's going to be really cool. So yeah, you know, I'll make sure to let you know when it comes out. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Make sure to head over there and yeah, get on the email list. It's a great place to be. But I will hopefully sound a lot better for you in the next episode. And so just please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.